Attention, Joe Bro fans. Welcome to the Remember This Tour. This is Las Vegas, MGM, whatever venue.
Oh my God.
Is it Jonas Brothers? I'm Joe.
I am not the fuck Kevin.
I know.
We are not Kevin. Neither of us.
I knew y'all would be mad. Okay, no.
You could be Nick.
Frankie.
You can be the dad. Well, this is Sarah.
Do I look like a preacher?
This is Sarah.
Do I look like a preacher?
And we're here to talk about another Jonas Brothers album. And so, of course, we brought back the Joe Bro queen herself, Ivy.
Of course.
Hi, I'm here.
I am also
you're here. You're ready. You're prepared.
I was summoned.
Mm-hmm. We sent out the Joe Bro bat signal and Ivy said, okay, I'm here.
Oh, my God.
So today we're going to be talking about the second studio album by the Jonas Brothers, the Brothers Jonas. We talked about It's About Time, their first album, back in the springtime. And if you want to hear our Jonas beginnings, how we all, our history with the Jonas Brothers, how we got into them in general, go listen to that one, because we're just going to jump in to, you know, our history with this album, this era of Jonas in particular. But first, let me give you a little bit of background on the album. Are we ready for that, y'all?
Let's go. Crank.
Mm-hmm. Jonas Brothers is the self-titled second studio album and the international debut album released by the Jonas Brothers, and their first album to be released under Hollywood Records.
Oh.
Heard of them.
Oh, trash.
They had all the Disney people. They had Ali and AJ. They had, you know, Miley. They got Sophia Carson. We have to save her from them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, get her out of there. I'm glad Sabrina's not signed to them anymore.
Are they bad? Like, are they like shit?
Yeah, they're horrible with promotion, for one.
Believable.
They're owned by Disney.
Oh, yeah. Then of course they're terrible with promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if that hasn't been the case in the past week of podcasting.
Oh, because of Spin. Because Disney Channel barely promoted the Disney Channel movie Spin.
Oh, I was like, woof.
We're being promoted by Disney, by the way. We have the sponsorship.
I know. Yeah, I was like, y'all got beef with Disney for your podcast now?
So in the past, you had artists like Ali and AJ, All Star Weekend, the Cheetah Girls, China and McClain, Bridget Mendler, Corbin Blue, Miley, all of these Disney people, Hillary. That's why you would always see their music videos on Disney Channel, is because Disney was the one.
Was Jordan Pruitt signed to Hollywood Records? Do you remember her?
I've heard the name. I remember.
You don't know how it feels. She's not on here.
It was on the Jump In soundtrack. That you make me wanna jump to the
rhythm. Oh, wait. She's currently... It says she's... Okay, yeah, she, I guess, was. Sorry, she wasn't in the J section. She was in the P for Pruitt section.
Ah.
So, yes. Mm. So, yes.
Alphabetical via last name. Wait, mm-hmm. Question. Have we done Jump In the movie yet?
Yes.
I don't remember watching it.
A long time ago.
We definitely did a long time ago.
Did I not watch it?
I'm sure you did.
Okay.
Anyways.
But no, there's a possibility that you did not.
There is a high possibility.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so this album came out on Hollywood Records, the Disney company, basically. We have the release date, which is August 7th, 2007, which just passed mm-hmm. earlier this month, obviously. The first single was the re-release of Year 3000, which was on It's About Time, but they said, let's just milk this cover for as long as we can. So they put it on this one. They put it on here, and then the second single was Hold On. Third single was SOS, and the fourth single was When You Look Me in the Eyes.
Well, they had Year 3000 as the first single from this album, technically, because once they signed with Disney and Hollywood Records, once they signed with Disney and Hollywood Records, they didn't have the rights to any other other music that was under Columbia, but because Year 3000 was a cover, Columbia couldn't technically own it, and they needed something to distribute on Disney to get fans like excited for this album to come out. So that was why they kept, like, you saw the Year 3000 music video play over and over and over.
Oh, they said, we know the loopholes here.
We have to put out some sort of music, and it can't be from Nick's solo album. So
let's do this one. It's we'll not crazy kind of crush on you.
So if we're learning anything right now, put a cover in one of your early works, and then when you eventually transfer record labels, you can do it again. Yeah.
So after Year 3000, obviously we had Hold On. That was in the Disney Channel original movie. Johnny Capahala back on board. They had a music video with the scenes from Johnny Capahala playing on Disney Channel. And then SOS was the third single, and that's really where things changed for the Joe
That's
Bros.
That's when it went off the fucking roller coaster rails that they sing about.
Yes, exactly. It was the most successful single from the album. It charted all over different countries. It was their first top 20 hit in the United States. And then we had, after that, the next single was When You Look Me in the Eyes, which was a re-recording of the version that first appeared in Nick's solo album. And I know what you're thinking. I think we listened to a clip of it last time, but I know we want to hear it again. So let's just hear a little clip of that. When you look me in the eyes and tell me that you love me,
I love Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
Bye, Ivy.
The first comment on this YouTube video says he sounds like Vanessa Hudgens. So. Where was the lie?
I'm so sorry.
Can we get a Nick Jonas cover of Sneaker Night?
Mm-hmm. He could actually maybe make that work. On the bonus Jonas edition, the one that Ivy has, there was the Kids of the Future Meet the Robinson soundtrack one that they threw on there as well. And we got the party from the Hannah Montana episode they did.
We got the party, rock the party.
I will say there was a period in my life where I absolutely thought they animated Wilbur Robinson to look like Joe Jonas during this period of time, and they had Kids of the Future on the soundtrack.
Wait, like they reanimated Wilbur Robinson to look like Joe?
Not reanimated. I just thought he looked like Joe Jonas.
Oh, so I see.
I thought that was like what they were intending, was for him to look like Joe Jonas, because at the time Joe Jonas had that short haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Like, here, wait. Look.
Yeah, I see it.
I doubt it, but I've never met an animator from the film to ask, so we'll never know.
Yeah. Anyways, I'll catch up with them later.
The album as a whole debuted at number 5 on the U.S. Billboard 200 with 69,000 copies. It was the Jonas Brothers' first top 10 album in the country. As of March 2015, the album has sold 2,409,000 copies in the U.S., becoming Jonas's best-selling album to date.
As it should be.
All right.
That's kind of surprising. I would have thought that a little bit longer maybe would have sold more.
This is my favorite album.
Mine as well. I just assumed that like the momentum kept going with
no.
But I guess not.
I mean, that's what we all thought about Lorde's album, and look at her now.
Right. Anyways, most of the songs on here are written by the boys. There's a couple where they have like additional people. We'll get to that when we go track by track. Anyways, what's y'all's history with this album? Let's start with the expert herself.
So I started listening to them a little before this album came out. So this was the first album I remember actually listening to from the point of release. I got the bonus Jonas CD edition, came with a little like CD-ROM you could put in your computer, and honestly don't remember what was on the CD-ROM, but I know I did it. and this was when the Jonas era for me very much began. I have a picture of me with a birthday cake from about this period of time with just like a picture of the Jonas Brothers on the birthday cake.
Like those cakes that had like printed pictures of something on it. Yes. Oh God.
Yeah. So this was the era that really kicked my standing into high gear.
This is the era that stole your bank account. It owns that bank account now.
And here I am.
Wait, how old would you have been when this one came out?
August of 2007. I was right about to turn 8.
Damn. The Joe Bros be owning that ass.
Prime time for the Joe Bros tour managers to just charge your parents as much as they can.
My parents tried so hard to get tickets for the Best of Both Worlds tour that they went on with Miley. And it was like at that point, whenever you couldn't really buy them online, you had to physically go to the box office. And two people in front of my dad got the last ticket for the concert. They were going to get them for my birthday.
If I was your dad, I would have beat the fuck out of those people. I would have literally been like, what can I do to get these tickets from you?
And here I
am. Well, good for him for
on them to play these same songs, even though this tour, this Remember This Tour, they got a lot of shit for it on Twitter.
I have been seeing. I do sometimes dive into the Jonas Brothers subreddit, and I have seen the feedback.
What's happening?
So their tour started about 2 nights ago.
Friday.
This is this is the first night they're not doing a show since the tour started, and they had their first two shows in Vegas. And they've been hyping up this tour so much, which is like stupid anyway, because like they haven't released another album since the point that they released or that they did their last tour. So they literally just have two new songs to tour off of. So we were all like, why are you touring in the first place? But they were like, oh, it's the Remember This Tour, because they released a song called Remember This. And they're like, oh, it's about our journey with you guys as fans through the years. Like, we love the years we spent with you.
Translated to, we want more money from you. You know you will come because
it's gonna be a nostalgic tour. Like we're gonna be playing songs that we don't usually play. Blah 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 blah. Come to find out, these two shows, the set list got leaked before the first show started because one of the girls that I'm friends with was front barricade, and she like got a picture of the set list. And it was basically the same exact set list as their last tour that they did. And we were like, okay. So we're paying this money once again to see
in a pandemic
year 3000 SOS burning up like the same shit.
The old
they really are just trying to scare you.
I think they did Hold On and Shelf like one each night, and then like
they did
a piano Shelf. When You Look Me in the Eyes.
So that's what they're trying to pull. So I'm like, we're changing the set list every night for you all, when in reality it's like two songs, because they did BB Good and like you said When You Look Me in the Eyes last night. They didn't do those the
no artist time,
but it's everybody's still pissed
as they should be. No artist would ever do a every night's gonna be a different set list bullshit. You know how hard that would be on like the lighting people, the sound engineers, like everyone would be panicking.
They did it on the last tour. They had a fan request section, but it was just one song every night. It was just the three of them doing it acoustically. And they would like ask the fans, they were like, oh, what are we feeling tonight? And like everybody brought signs and they would play an older song or something. But of course, like Joseph's a dumbass and doesn't remember the words. So like there were so many songs they didn't do because Joe doesn't know the words.
And he said, like, another one, try another one.
Yeah, he's like, I'll do this one again. But yeah, so they're kind of doing that, I guess, with this tour, with like two different songs that they don't do every other, but it's still just like bullshit the way they marketed it as some nostalgic tour playing songs that they don't ever play. And they're doing still literally half of the set list is their album that they released in 2019. And I'm like, remember this tour? Remember what? The set list for the tour that we just saw 2 years ago?
Remember that show you just went to? Remember when we already did this? Yeah, and like they had like two or three album anniversaries this month, and they would keep posting like, what songs off of, like, happy anniversary to It's About Time. What songs from this one do you want to hear on the Remember This Tour? Happy anniversary to Self-Titled. What do you want to hear from this one? And everyone thought they were going to hear from these ones.
No.
But they, well.
Especially because before the last tour started, they posted a rehearsal video of them doing Shelf. And everybody got really excited because everybody loves Shelf. And then it wasn't on the set list. And everybody was like, why the fuck did you post this rehearsal video if you're not doing it? So then this tour started and they're like, nostalgic tour. And we're all like, oh my God, do Shelf. And then they did it the first night and it's still not on the set list.
Oh my God.
Well, and you have 2 dates you're going to. Is that next month or this month?
Yeah, then September 9th and September, I think, 21st. I don't even know. I'm not as excited as the last tour. Just am I going to still sing all the songs that I like am not the happiest that they're doing? Yes, but like just not as hyped about it as I was for the last tour.
Yeah, understandably, because they only like a couple new songs since then.
I mean, truly, if you go and you get disappointed, this could literally be like the I'm cutting you off from my bank account tour.
They have some song that was on the new Space Jam soundtrack, and no one knows it. Like, the arena went silent when they started doing it. And I'm like, this is your sign to not do that song.
Like, yes, you had like an album in 2019 that like was well received by your fans, but like you have all the others to focus on, because like that's what people grew up with. Like, you only had one since your union, like to pre-breakup, Jonas. One. What's your history with this album, if you have any, or was this your first time listening to this album? You know at least some of the songs.
I like know like SOS, and I think and definitely When You Look Me in the Eyes. Hold On, maybe, but it's really just SOS that I like, and like Look Me in the Eyes.
Y'all watched Johnny Capahala back on.
Yeah, I know. I'm fully aware, but like, Hold On doesn't stay in my mind. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like one of those, like, name a Joe Bro song. I would 100% yell Year 3000 before anything else.
It wasn't about a girl. The ones it wasn't that aren't about girls just fly out of your head. Okay, yeah, so this was basically your first time doing a whole album listen
Yeah,
through.
I mean, people know this by now. I didn't choose to listen to Joe Bros growing up. Like, I wasn't like as much as I am limp wrist. I never gravitated towards like the boy group or like the male singers. It was always like, what are the girls doing? What are they
It was
singing?
Britney, it was Spice Girls, it was even Christina.
Yes.
For me, let's see, I definitely, yeah, I saw the music videos for SOS and Hold On, When You Look Me in the Eyes, all those on a Disney Channel. Reminder that I mentioned this in the first episode that I didn't like the Jonas Brothers at the time. Like, I really liked Mandy in Year 3000, but once they got super popular and like every girl in my junior high wouldn't shut up about them. Literally, they all were singing When You Look Me in the Eyes in the locker room. And I
I
said,
was
"Can you
waiting
shut
for
the
you to
fuck
bring
up?"
up that story.
It's a memory burned into my brain. So yeah, I didn't like them at the time. Like, there, it was very annoying to me. But since then, grown on me. I like actually went back and listened to this album. And was like, oh, there's other songs other than those three singles that Disney Channel would always play. So then I was like, oh, Good Night and Goodbye is really good, and like Australia is really good. Like, well, I actually did some other stuff besides these ones that all these girls are singing at my school. So yeah, I do own this one on vinyl as
I
well
was
as It's
just gonna
About
ask you
Time.
that.
Still got it. I haven't
Which
opened it, but I have it.
I was gonna say, which press is it?
I think it's white. Just white.
I
I don't
think
know the
so.
different
Yeah.
pressings, but yeah,
What
so
are the different
and
pressings, Ivy?
there's white, clear, and then the one that I have, which is kind of like ivory white with like some brown blob in the middle.
Some brown blob.
It literally is labeled as like blob press or something. Like, yeah.
Ew. I
It's
have
such
a
a gross way to word
shit stain press.
a blob press as well of a different record. But anyways, yeah, this is probably my favorite. I very much was a f like I'm a fan of
Yeah,
the pop
it looks like
punky Jonas
that.
Brothers. Oh yeah. Looks like an
No,
eyeball.
it's
not
literally
this.
just a blob.
Ooh.
I'm a fan of the pop punk rock more Jonas Brothers feel, so like It's About Time. And this one, not as much as when they started to go more a little more pop with A Little Bit Longer, and then
Yeah, that's why this is
unreleased
my favorite.
album, and then Happiness Begins. But yeah, so let's, I guess, dive into the track list.
Let's crank.
Track number one is SOS. Here's a clip.
I gave my all for you, now my heart's in two, and I can't find the other half. It's like I'm walking on broken
Yes,
glass.
it's like I'm
Classic.
walking on broken glass. I love that image of just bloody feet. Love that in a
Bloody
song.
feet, bloody feet.
The fact that there
Anyways.
was that show where Joe literally
Oh
walked
yeah.
on glass.
cut his no. He
He
fell.
fell.
He like tripped either on a speaker or like fell off of it 'cause he was standing on it and busted his
Idiot.
knee open, and he was wearing a straight full white suit. And there's literally just like blood coming through his knee on the white suit.
Isn't it
I
because
want to
they
watch.
all walked through these like windows that broke? Like, that was the stunt. It was like these windows, these like three window
I think
doorways
it, yeah,
broke
I think
and
it
they
might
walked
be.
through them.
And it literally cut glass onto his knee.
Joe
Yeah,
Jonas
was at an
bloody
award
knee.
show. I would always like watch that on YouTube and just laugh
Because
at it.
they still have that suit like preserved. And at their last tour, they had a little VIP thingy for the like ultimate VIP, which is what I did. And they had the suit there
You
in
take a
its.
picture with the blood.
Yeah, indeed.
It's like barely anything. It's like dabbles of blood. Like little dribbles.
Oh, sorry, sorry he didn't bleed more for you.
I wanted
Anyways,
gore.
A little background on this song. This one is written by only Nick Jonas, and he has said that he wrote it in only 10 minutes. It came to him in the middle of the night, and he wrote it in just 10 minutes.
He's so smart.
He's so wise. Paul McCartney, who? What are y'all's thoughts on this song?
It's fine. It's hype.
It's fine.
This is okay. One of the singles that I actually get excited to hear live. I think this one's really fun. I love Joe's vocals and the way that they actually had the broken glass sound effect at the end.
At the end?
I always love that. It sounds like a vase breaking. I always
and this was
it.
Another one of the things at the VIP thing. It was the lights from the music video.
They couldn't afford to replace some of the ones in the O.
They're supposed to be out. That's how they were in the music video. They're not dead. They're just not there.
They're not even in.
It's an artistic choice.
Okay. I just think it's so dramatic that they're like, you better believe I bled that I walked on this broken glass. I was like, okay, relax, Mary. We all would bleed. We all bleed.
Mm-hmm. Got some references to texting in there. Love that. Later on the album, we'll get some references to IMing. But really, this one is got that iconic guitar riff. It's got a very strong chorus, which I'm sure is why it's great live. A good bridge, even. Good bridges are few and far between, but this one got a good little bridge. Not too long. I did this song at karaoke once because I can, I can't sing at high registers like women, but I can sing like Joe Jonas in the chorus of this song.
Monotone?
Oh, that's shades of Joe, but but yeah, just male singers I can usually do better
Ivy's
with those
pissed.
Vocal
Ivy's
ranges.
So mad.
Anyways, well, I guess if that's all, we'll move on to track number 2, which is Hold On. Positive messaging here.
Hold on. I just think it's so funny that they do this stunt over and over again throughout this album. Not stunt, quote unquote, right? Or it's let's sing a song about being super in love and needing someone and missing someone. And then immediately after it's we don't need you, fuck off. I don't need you, get over it. There's a lot of whiplash to me in this album where it's what do you want me to feel?
Does this one mention, this doesn't mention women or girls break up, anything?
No.
It's just getting through something.
Oh, really?
It's not a breakup song.
It's just if you're having a bad day, if you're going through something, just hold on, keep going, don't give up.
Maybe I need to rearrange these now.
This is one that a lot of the little Joni fans get tattooed on them.
Oh, God. Where's yours? Where's yours?
That's a different song though. But
Sneaker Night.
No, they get the they get the there's more to life than just to live.
I mean,
it's probably my least favorite lyric in the song, but
I'm wait, but what?
No, my favorite lyric is an empty room can be so loud.
Because it echoes.
Because it's empty, and so you echo. I always like the music video for this one, too, where it's all those papers blowing around them.
Flying around, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, this fucks up my order. Now I have to, rethink it. I guess, I had listened to SOS, and so I kind of, drowned it out, right? Because I was like, SOS, it's slash whatever, it's good, I love this song. And so I think I went into Hold On just in that same mentality of yeah, this is going to be good. But then I just heard Hold On constantly throughout the song, and I was like, is this song over? How many times have they repeated the chorus? So I think this is on me.
Yeah, it's not a breakup song.
Okay, so let me do some quick math.
Wow. Yeah, it's just a
I did
want to
like the song,
message.
But it, I've... Huh? Huh?
It's just a very positive message. That's what's good about the song, is it isn't about a girl or anything like that. It's just like anyone like can listen to it and be like, I'm having a bad day.
Okay, let me do some maths.
Great. I also love the strings in this one.
Like, I wrote that down.
When everything drops out and it's just Nick singing and then you have the strings in the background. Ooh, love some strings.
And some I love that they have in the 3D concert experience, they had a full string section on their tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my favorite.
Oh, they really did?
At the end, Nick says, thank you to our lovely string section.
Yeah.
I love that. I love when a band actually hires, like, you know, a quartet or something to play along with them to, like, or like a brass band if they do, like, you know, if there's brass behind them. Like, that's so good. Like, I love that. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to track number 3. Good night and goodbye.
Hold on tight. It's your roller coaster ride. We were all so say goodbye. Cause we won't be back again. Up and down, you're all around. Say goodnight. Yeah,
I missed the flip section of this when they would do it live.
They're not doing flips anymore.
Okay.
Oh, Juan's done with his math.
I just finished my math.
The last repeated section of the chorus seemed unnecessary. The kind of a cappella-ish
and it's like
section. Yeah.
The classic. Oh yeah.
It's a roller coaster. Wait, yeah. It just seemed like too much.
I do have to say, though, I did love the instrumentation in this one a lot. Yeah, like, they had, like, the, I think it was probably, like, it was probably either, like, a muted vibraphone or, like, a xylophone with, like, rubber mallets.
I knew you would catch that.
You knew I'd catch that. I listened for instrumentation, because I'm a musician. But, no, I like the instrumentation in this. It's, like, very unique, very, like, smart. I like it when it's not just like guitars and drums and there's like a little bit of like, ooh, look at this cool little instrument in the back or something like that. Very nice.
Not to spoil my ratings for later, but this is my favorite Joe Bros song other than Mandy, my pop punk anthem from the first album. This is my fave other than Mandy. I remember hearing it and then being like, oh, this is like nothing that I've heard from like those Disney artists. It's not, doesn't sound very like plug and play, like anyone could sing this or do this. Like I like the guitars in it. Not only the like it sounds like it's climbing constantly, the song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also just the like it's like finger picking in the verses and that's really nice. Just love it. I think it's a great
just
song.
Variations.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Anything else you hate, Ivy?
Well, good night and goodbye and hold on were both written by just the Joe Bros, but this next track also had another writer on here. So let's get to number 4 on the album. It's That's Just the Way We Roll.
Hello, we get a little crazy. Hello, we get a little
not like the other boys, okay?
I'm just in a silly, goofy mood.
Oh my god, this to me, the first thing I thought of, like, did they literally record this for like a family vacation video? Like to
I
be like
slideshow.
Yeah. What were they on when they wrote this?
This is literally what you're saying. You're like, we're quirky, we're different, our family's so fun and spontaneous. Like,
there's a whale in the pool. Like, our dad's painting the house different colors.
We're on drugs. But we're not, because we wear purity rings.
This was actually their acid trip. Yeah, this is definitely like the most immature or like simple lyrically, I would say.
Simple.
Just like, this I sounds still, like what I did I on still, summer vacation.
I still do the every time because of Kevin and the 3D concert experience and just like they do it live every time anyway, whenever they're like, when we lose all the girls, they'll be laughing. Ha 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 ha. Like, they do that every time.
What?
They do it. It's just
they
thing.
Or just Kevin does it?
Well, like, Kevin does it, but it's a thing. And it's like in SOS before they do the chorus every time they're live, they go, 1, 2, 3, jump. Ooh. This, yeah, there's just like certain things they do every time.
Okay.
I just don't like, I don't like laughs in songs most of the time.
I don't like, yeah, I don't like when music is rejected.
Why did you choose to put this in here? I'm uncomfortable.
It just, this sounds like they would, like I said, it sounds like they would do it for like a film reel or like some sort of trailer for something, like very, I don't know. It's just not my vibe.
There's also the reference to Hanson, which I'm sure fans that listen to the album were like, who the fuck is Hanson?
The children boy band thing from like back in the 80s or whatever?
Yeah, because they say they're going to battle dance against Hanson. So it's like, oh, these three brothers against these three brothers.
Who are 30 at this point?
Yeah. Anyways, I do think it's catchy, like, when I listen to it, I do like sing along or like lip sync along. I'm like, it is catchy. But like, if we deep dive into the lyrics, I want them to do one of those Genius verified videos
where they go lyric by lyric
and they talk about this one.
I did have Genius open. Oh, sorry, go.
Yeah.
My favorite one of the Genius lyric by lyric videos is when Lil Nas X was doing it and he goes, I want to feel on your ass in Hawaii. And he goes, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. I want to feel your ass in Hawaii. That was it.
He was like, there's nothing, there's no deep meaning behind this. I was on Genius the entire time I listened to this album, by the way. I had to like, I wanted to see how many times, like the percentage of verse versus chorus on some of these songs. I was like, this is really big chorus, little mini verses, like I'm tired.
And yet you didn't realize that Hold On was not about a breakup.
No, but I just was like, this is going on for quite a while.
Okay. This one was written by the three brothers plus William James McCauley III, who has worked with Selena Gomez, Kate Vogel, and a couple other people, but like not too many things, which might make sense. That might make sense that he didn't further his career. Anyways, let's move to track number 5. It's an acoustic one. This is Hello, Beautiful.
But tonight I'm gonna fly.
So, cut the cameras, dead ass. Okay, can I just read you verbatim what I wrote?
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me. And let me tell you, it just, I don't, like, this song feels like it's pandering towards the girls. Like, it's very much like, we could be something, all 3,000 of you in this stadium.
Ivy, comments?
It took me years upon years to be able to tolerate this song. Not even, I don't like it, like to tolerate it. I would skip this every single time I had the Jonas Brothers on shuffle, whether it be this or the live version.
Why even have it on your thing anyways? Just delete it.
Because I have all of their songs, even the unreleased ones. But like, I just don't like the song, and especially when they would do it live. They would drag it out so bad. The live version from the 3D concert experience, they're all three on these pedestals and they just get risen up and they're singing it. And like at the end, instead of just if I couldn't see those eyes, it's Joe and he's like, if I couldn't see, if I couldn't see. He doesn't stop. Like, let it end.
He's like, don't you get it? I'm singing this to you if I could it. Cut it.
And it's interesting. I'm not a fan of acoustic ones. I remember Ivy being upset that I had Please Be Mine so low on the last album ranking because it was an acoustic. But at least Please Be Mine has like more lyrics. This feels like so empty. Tonight.
It is.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of words, a lot of dragging out things. Whereas like, Please Be Mine has more words.
Like, I'm okay with, like, a ballad that's, like, if it's, like, a group and one person sings it, like, let's talk about Pentatonix for a bit, right? Who are they? They've been dead for a while. They only show up during Christmas time.
They actually just released an album, but okay.
Downloading now? But, like, when Avi used to be on there, he had his own track during...
There's a light in the hallway.
Yeah. But, like... I kind of like stuff like that. That's like more like what bothers me is that it's like, this is about like a girl. Like this is Joe Jonas just being like, I want to sing a song towards a special girl in the audience.
This is written. I'm about 98% sure about Miss Miley Cyrus. So don't be, this is Joe Jonas. This is Nick Jonas.
Is this Nick singing?
This, well, Jonas,
it's Joe singing, Jonas, but I'm
Joe
sure
singing
Nick
the chorus.
This is, Mama, this is garbage. Heavy. Then have Nick's little whiny ass sing this song.
Yeah, it says all three of them wrote it, but it is, according to Genius, I was going to bring this up, it says that Nick tells Miley Cyrus, his current girlfriend at the time, he'd be moving to her city so he can be closer to her.
Interesting, because they broke up.
That man will leave his wife for her, still to this day.
And you know what? I think Miley Cyrus would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Bye.
Literally, okay, I just wanna play this ending just for one.
If I couldn't see, if I couldn't see,
Jesus Christ. He really milked that shit for 30 seconds of just...
That was a minute. That gave me Maya Rudolph doing the national anthem. Like,
can you see?
B to the R to the A to the V to the E. That's what that gave me. Speaking of, Juan, you were talking about how... they did this for the girls. In an interview with J14 when they did a track by track chat for the 10-year anniversary of the album, they said, Kevin said, when we wrote it, we knew that it would stay acoustic. It just needs to be that way. And the girls really seem to like it.
Of course, because in their fucking mind, in their weird delusional tween mind, they thought this was about them. This is like, this is the song that they're singing to me. They want me. This is about me.
I can tell you 100% honesty, I have never liked this song.
Good for you, Ivy. You literally are not a robot.
I have never, when the 3D concert experience came out and my sister and I went and saw it in theaters, like,
you got
don't
up to
like
pee.
This song. Probably.
You said, I'm gonna go shit right now. BRB. You know what, Ivy? And that just means you're built different.
I was literally like, Joe Jonas ascending to the heavens is attractive, but this song is not.
Kevin really said, we just really want the song to get me a girlfriend. That's really what we're using this one for. Okay, well, I guess we can move on to track number 6, which is titled Still in Love with You. Oh, it's actually, my phone's been on mute. It's been playing the rest of the album this whole time. let's go back to Still in Love with You.
Without a single word.
This is a breakup song because I wrote, is she dead?
I don't think so.
What an interesting interpretation.
Well, because she's just like, I don't know. I'm joking about the dead thing, but like I did. There's part of the, I think it's the chorus or the, I don't know. I don't remember exactly where, but they're like, no, it's definitely the chorus where they're like, you just left without saying goodbye, but I don't know if it would hurt, like, if you, like, actually said goodbye instead. Like, do you want to be ghosted or do you want to be told, like, goodbye? Like, what do you want?
And that's what the song is about, not knowing.
There's no knowing where they were going.
This one has some...
Oh, she's dead? What did you say?
I was just gonna say, this is the one I really like, the bridge to this song.
Oh, the bridge. Okay. the bridge. Take it to the bridge.
Take it to the chorus. Joe Jonas, this one's about a breakup, but you still have feelings for that person even when they moved on. You're still stuck in that situation remembering when everything was fun. So I don't think it's about a dead girl. But this one has some cool little chimes in the beginning. Ding, ding, ding. Love some chimes.
I can hear the bells.
Yeah, it's got a nice guitar solo in there. And this one, it's nice after Hello Beautiful, the snoozer that was, to get into this one where the drums and the guitars are going hard. We're like, yes, yes.
I tried to look up Still in Love with You.
Because I literally wrote, I'm tired at Hello Beautiful.
Oh, also about Hello Beautiful, because I wrote acoustic Miley, and then I said I was, because he says, like, they say, like to look into your eyes, basically, and I thought of Miley Cyrus' eyes beam.
That one where she's like,
yeah.
The blue eyes, like, dragon look.
That's what I was thinking of.
Jesus. And,
but I like Still in Love with You.
It's all right. It's like a good. It's like a good recovering song after what the fuck happened a minute ago.
I love this song.
This seems like it'd be a good song to sing live. Just those chant, like, I'm leaving, goodbye, to chant those. And I'm sure they don't fucking play this ever. Have they ever in their life?
Ivy.
I just doubt it.
I want to say it was a part of Mandy's Mega Mix on the last tour.
Mandy's Mega Mix.
So they did, basically, their excuse for not having old songs on the set list on the last tour was, this is our tour for, like, Happiness Begins, and we have so many songs, we have such a big discography, so we're just gonna mash them all together. And they did, like, a 7-minute just medley of a bunch of, like, mashup of old
songs.
We'll
do full versions of these on the next tour.
Like, it went from Mandy to Paranoid to... I don't remember. And then there was, like, Play My Music, Hold On, Tonight, World War III. I can't remember.
Which, who likes that one? Or not.
World War III? Shut the fuck up. Me.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I don't support war, so.
Yeah, I can't remember if this was in there. Well, that's what that song is saying. We can't have a World War III.
Well, they...
We just can't.
The Jonas Brothers are going to solve the problems in Afghanistan. Mark my words.
We knew it.
Kevin. Yes. Still in Love with You, written by all three of the bros.
The diplomat.
Let's move on to track number 7, which is the song that I actually ghost wrote about Kate Blanchett. And it's called Australia.
Oh my God.
She won't break my heart, cause I knew she'd be from Australia.
As much as I like this song, I just wrote, like, this made all the Australian all the Australian ladies wet. Like, this was the song for them where they were like, this is about me.
Well, ironically, none of the brothers ended up marrying an Australian girl.
Oh my God.
Especially Joe.
I literally, and then I also wrote, who was the girl from Down Under? Like, who was the one? It's fun. Joe it's a funny song.
Joe did end up being a coach on The Voice Australia.
Oh.
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 Oh. Yeah, apparently, here's what they said in that 10-year anniversary interview. Nick said, kind of a funny song we wanted to write, as the title says, about Australia. Originally, our dad said, you're going to have to rewrite that to make it more neutral. But our A&R guy was more like, I love that whole Australia thing. I want to keep that.
Wait. Take that, rewind it back. What the hell? The dad wanted it to be more like, write it about like any girl. The dad is a psychopath.
Because it would alienate.
This preacher dad is not it.
It would alienate fans in other countries.
Whatever. The only reason why this is as high as it is, quote unquote high as it is in my list, is just because it's so like weird and out of left field. I was like, all right, they tried something quirky. That's it.
They did, but it does do quirky better than That's Just the Way We Roll.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This song for me
is a no.
I like the verses, but I don't like the chorus.
Okay.
Reasonable. I'm trying to look at the chorus.
I don't like when singers do like la 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 instead of writing another word.
La la la.
The chorus. La, la, la. The chorus is what Sarah played with the like, and I'll wait for mm-hmm. her to come. And then the verses. Come?
No one thought that one. What if kids listened to this?
And that's on
the
them.
The verses are the ones that like hit really hard with the like, you were the one I thought I needed, I'm better off alone. And like that's true. Where all the like hard instruments are going and stuff. And then they go into the chorus and it's just like,
in a way,
it's like really slow. Her. It's like two very different vibes.
Very true.
I kind of like that though. I kind of like that. Like normally, they're like into like power choruses, but this one was just like, we're gonna take it easy, take a little breather.
I think the problem.
I love how hard the drums go in this song, though.
Donkey Kong was on those boys.
Oh my god!
Actually, I think it said Nick played the drums on this one. Actually,
ooh. Probably.
I was gonna say, I think the problem with the chorus is that it breaks up the phrasing in weird syllable spots. Like, and I'll wait for her to come.
To come.
That's Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle singing.
Like, yeah, it's just like, it's too much breaking it apart. Like, I feel like if they had like elongated some words and it wasn't like, here, stop, it would have fixed your mm-hmm. problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not your problem. Your issue with this song.
I do like that it ends with like a Teen Beach esque kind of like ooh wee ah that type of thing. You know?
Get out of here, Teen Beach movie.
I like old music like that, like a very Beach Boysy, like I like I actually do really like Australia. No, like vocally them going like ooh.
Ooh. Done.
Anyways, we can move on to track number 8, titled Game. It's been costing us so much. Splitting apart is getting out of here. Say what you want. I'm so bored with these games.
Games. Lyrical genius.
They don't want to play board games anymore. I get it. Monopoly breaks up friendships.
Is this a song about them knowing that they're gonna break up with someone? I don't know how to interpret
no,
this.
No, it's saying that like I'm bored with the games you're playing with me. So like I guess they're gonna break up with them, but like
okay.
I wonder
what you get when I'm gone. Like, when I leave, who are you with?
Oh, so they're paranoid. They're worried.
Oh!
Maybe.
Mon did a little reference to another song, but probably didn't.
I might be paranoid.
I fully was because you mentioned it earlier, Ivy.
Uh-huh. Oh. No, the lyrics to this song are, like, my favorite thing. The fact that they say, sorry, trouble. So bored with these games. They're games. Sorry and
oh!
trouble.
I was like, those are fucking words, Ivy. Like, what's so special?
No, they're games. And they say, I'm so bored with these games because Sorry and Trouble are board games.
Oh, shit. Got them.
And fuck. As for, like, the sound of the song, it's very, like, reggae-ish.
There was a vibra slap.
They were inspired by the Police. Sting's band, The Police. They wanted that kind of feel. Not Cops, but The Police. So they wanted a little reggae feel in that the verses.
Do I need to do some more maths?
I don't know. That's your opinion.
Are you gonna rank it higher because you just realized the lyrics?
Yeah,
Sorry and Trouble.
I fully thought that it was like them being like, I'm gonna break up with you, but like we're still having fun. But like I thought the Jebros were evil in this one.
You thought they were playing the games.
I thought they were playing the games.
No.
I'm the opposite with this song as I am with Australia. With Australia, I said I love the verses but not the chorus, but in this song it's flipped to me. I love the chorus to this song, but I think the verses are just eh.
Interesting. They just say games too much for me. I don't know.
It does get repeated a lot.
One thing about me is I don't like the Police, the organization, or the band. So I wasn't too thrilled. Like, I like ska and reggae stuff, but like, I don't know. It felt weird to hear it from them. But I do like the keyboards that were coming in the bridge. That was cool.
Okay.
I'd be so upset.
I fixed my math.
Block this light.
Oh,
it ain't working.
No, I love it. It's so beautiful. You look so heavenly.
And this one was written by the Joe Bros, but also some other people helped out in the writing. And I will tell you who once my phone decides not to be so shitty. I know Garbo, who we talked about in the last episode, worked on this one. Do you want to remind us who Garbo is?
Who is
Greg
Garbo?
Garbowski. Greg Garbowski. He was their original bassist. And he's back in the day. Fucking king.
And another one is someone we heard about in, I think, Love Bug, right? When they shout out John Taylor! Yes, he was on this one. And
he was their other player. And he's now their manager. Or not manager, he's like on their team something.
Okay.
And then the last person was Alex Noyes, who, according to Genius, has only done this song and like some They Might Be Giants song or two, which is interesting.
Okay.
But anyways, we're going to move on to number 9. This is the one that had all the girls screaming. It's
Me Too.
When You Look Me in the Eyes.
When you look me in the eyes.
Okay. This is a song for prom. This is a song. I know someone has done this as their wedding dance. Like, I know someone has done this as their first dance for a wedding. You? This is going to be your one?
I thought you were saying I've done it already. I was like, I'm not married.
Yeah, well, I was like, what the hell?
Not my first dance necessarily, but I do want this played at my wedding.
When you're walking down the aisle.
Mm.
When you look me in the eyes.
I've got my glimpse of heaven coming.
Oh yeah, this song came right in time for you. You know the second this song dropped, like the way was it Pretty Places or what's the song on Ali Nage's new album, Sarah, that like that lady was like, we're making this our first dance at our wedding. And I was like, those bitches stole my idea.
It was probably Slow Dancing.
Yeah, it was Slow Dancing. Yeah. So this is, you know, the song, the second this song dropped, every girl was like, this is my wedding song. Like, this is it. This is the one.
They said, I'm going to get married to Nick, and he's going to sing this to me at the wedding.
Exactly. Exactly. Or you're, this is also like a classic prom song. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the slow dances at prom, along with Avril Lavigne's,
I'm with you.
It's the classics. It's one of the classics now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's definitely better than Nick's solo version.
100%.
Which sounds a little more churchy.
When you look me in the eyes and tell me that you love me, God.
Yeah, that one was about God. This one's about
I do have it on my wedding playlist.
Oh my God.
What is that playlist called?
When Someone Decides to Love Me Forever.
Oh, no.
Love that. What's the High School Musical? Oh, can I have the dance?
Yeah.
So yeah, so our Winnie the Pooh ride meant nothing to you?
Does that mean you're going to love me forever, Juan?
I love you all forever.
Oh, thanks.
All, like both of us. Okay, well, I guess we can move on if we've said all we have to say. I've never been a fan of this one. Y'all heard me talking about the locker room.
I was just going to say, I like that the bridge in this song takes it up, but it's not too much to the point that it feels like a different song.
Oh, yeah. It's like just enough of like a oomph to make it powerful.
It's enough to not make it just a plateau, just flat song, but it takes it up to where you're not like, what song is this now?
Like the mood changed.
Like brutal in the beginning of Olivia Rodrigo when it starts off with the whole
orchestration
strings, and then it's da na 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 na, and you're like, what happened here?
Did the song change? Did someone hit skip?
All Time Low was jamming to that song today. Made my day.
Dude, I saw your tweet. I do think it's better than it's better lyrically than like Hello Beautiful. Like great lyrics, I just get annoyed whenever I hear this one. But let's move on to track
number. There is that trauma with this.
Oh my God.
Let's move on to track number 10. Inseparable. You're still holding on to my heart. I promise it will never be dark. I know we're inseparable. Wow, I love Paramore.
Absolute slap out of the planet.
I love this one. I'm so glad we're on the same level right now.
This song has to, no doubt, this is the best song. Not to give away what's my number one, this is the best song on this album.
This one definitely, like, this opening. That
so
sounds
good.
Just like any song on Riot from Paramore, in a way.
Yes. Like,
Juan, this is the one song. This is the one song. When we did the last album and we were having some differing opinions, this is the one song on this album. I was like, if Juan shits on Inseparable, I will leave the motherfucking call.
No. This is like this is what I wish the Jonas Brothers had done with this entire album. Like with any album. Like if the Jonas Brothers had stuck to this sound, they would have been completely in a different world than they are right now. Like this is so good. Like one, there's a synth patch, I think, in the middle of the bridge or one of the choruses where it's so like, it's like stringy, but like a pad on top of it. And it's so good. And then we get the guitar solo and then the vocals at the end. I'm like, oh my God, y'all really did not hold back. You really just you ate this song up. You all ate this fucking song up. And do they play this song live, Ivy? I need to know.
I bet they don't.
It wasn't on their set list on the last tour, but they did do this one as a fan request a few times. And I was there for one of the times that they did it as a fan request.
But it would have been an acoustic version of it, right?
Yes, but it was still good.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't understand why they wouldn't open with this. Like, this is such a good, like, this and SOS, this should have been, like, if SOS wasn't in the top, this one should have been. Like, this should have opened the album. But again, if they had done that, this whole album would have been shit. Because it would have not been comparable.
Juan's popping off on this one.
This song is it. This is the one. Literally the
I'm
one.
So the way I'm so excited to hear. Oh, I was going through my highlight to see if I could find the acoustic video of this. And here's Joe's suit with the blood on the knee.
What's that?
Oh my God.
I was nervous at first about it being an acoustic version because I was like, do not ruin this song for me.
Yeah, because sometimes like acoustic, like when people do covers of songs, but they do it acoustically, like All Tea, All Shade, Ben Platt singing anything. I'm like, shut up. Shut the hell up. You have destroyed this song. It's in the ground. It has rotted, decayed.
Okay. Okay, so we're standing inseparable, it seems. Let's
Who
see.
Wouldn't?
Track number 11, which is all about instant messaging. It's just friends.
Everyone knows it's meant to be. Falling in love, you and me. Till the end of time, till the moment it'll happen.
This feels like it was supposed to be in a DCOM.
I could,
and that's like the nicest thing I can say about it. Cause like immediately after inseparable, like I was like, if anything doesn't top this, I'm out. And that's kind of what happened here.
I could see it in, remember in the DCOM, Read It and Weep, when like Jamie, I think it's when that Jordan Pruitt song is playing.
Mm-hmm.
When Jamie and Jason Dolly are like IMing. And she's like, do you hate me now too? And he says, no, I hate the person you've become.
Oh, oh, got it. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, they just gave me a fucking bop to end all of them all. And then they went back to like regular Jonas Brothers. So it was kind of just like okay. Like, all right, it's whatever. It's fine.
This makes me think he's going to like BB Good.
Okay, interesting. By the way, this one written only by the brothers, but the last one, Inseparable, was written with the help of Josh Miller, who I looked up and like mostly is like done like country stuff. Like he worked on the If It's Meant to Be, It'll Be. That song.
Don't talk to me about that song. I had to hear that song live too many times.
Ew. Oh, that's right, because Teddy Ruxpin opened for them.
The bear?
A reference to the last episode.
BB Ruxa. Anyway. Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, that's his name.
Ivy, what are your thoughts on Just Friends?
I think it's a cute song. I love that it tells a little story from beginning to end of like friends to them getting married. But I have beef with this song because Lil Nicholas is a liar. And before the last tour started, he was when they were talking about the set list for the last tour, he was like, we're getting to be around 30 years old now. Like, we can't be singing like small talk on IM, blah blah blah. And then like, of course, at the time everybody got pissed off and they were like, why can't you, Nick? So then Nick saw that we got pissed off about it, and this was the fan request that never ended. No one was asking for it anymore during the fan request section of the shows. And they just kept doing it. And Nick was like, Y'all wanna tell me to do this song? Fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, he played drums. He's like, you guys really want me to do this? Fine, I'll never stop doing it.
Oh, so he was a little petty bitch with this.
Yeah, my fan requests were Jersey, which is the song they wrote for their documentary on Amazon Prime. Inseparable.
Not sponsored.
Can't Have You.
By Shawn Mendes.
What was the one in Nashville? And then Introducing Me was the one in Toronto. because they were like, we filmed a little movie about a couple hours outside of here years ago, whatever. So Nick started singing that.
Introducing blah, 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 blah. The pinnacle of, I'm just a goofy, quirky guy.
I like cheese.
But only on pizza, please. This one, to me, correct me if, like, let me know if you guys thought the same thing. I thought this sounded just like Hold On. Does it not sound a lot like Hold On?
Should we do a track by track comparison?
I didn't. Like, it sounded very similar to Hold On. I don't know. I don't know. It just sounded a lot like it.
I think I can see what you're talking about, I think.
Mm-hmm. I do like the... I know I said I don't like la-la-las. I only like them at the end of songs the way they did it here, where they go, la, 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 la. I don't like when it's just like, you could have put a word in there and you said la, la.
So you're like not you, a you're fan of the One chorus. Direction song, nah, nah, nah.
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's is that the same as the Akon one?
The One Direction one? I don't know much about One Direction because I never really... I literally just started listening to them like last year, but they have a song that's like... I was like, nah, nah, nah. And she was like, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
No, no, no. You were too busy with the Joe Bros to get into One Direction.
Very that.
I hate it because listening to their music now, I do like some of their stuff, but I think at the time, I had no problem with them. I liked the songs that were on the radio. But I think internally, I had this beef going on with myself. And I was like, you can't listen to One Direction. You like the Jonas Brothers and them only.
Mm-hmm. You like the Jonas Brothers. Stop.
Stop listening to them.
What are you doing?
Competition.
Well, any other thoughts on Just Friends 1?
No.
No.
Okay, let's move on to track number 12, Hollywood.
You can try to break us and make your fire burn. Fire's in our hearts, reminisce some memories, cause we're gone. Don't forget to hold back your thoughts and live like robots, cause we all know what goes on. Reminisce some memories, cause we're gone.
I love those pianos. Very, very cabaret rock, eh?
Anyway. I like this song.
Mm-hmm.
I live for the drum and the guitar part. I think it's during the verse. Where it's very, like, separated. But maybe it is a piano. I couldn't tell.
But a like, drum, a guitar, that. Or a piano?
It's either one of those three instruments. I thought it was drums and guitar together, but it might have been drum and piano together.
Okay.
But I love that little, like, that rhythmic change in there. That's good. Like, when the bass rhythm is different between verse and chorus, but the vocal structure of it is still very fluid, then I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. This one was written by the brothers and also John Fields, who I think mentioned on the last album review, worked with the Joe Bros, Demi, Miley, Switchfoot, Nick in the Administration when he did that solo album.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but this one is basically about Hollywood Records, low-key.
I was literally just going to say, I wrote one thing down for this song, and it just says, fuck the industry.
No,
it's kind of like their version of like Demi Lovato's La La Land of like, you're not gonna like turn us into your machines. That lyric, don't forget to hold back your thoughts and live like robots. They said we're not turning into beep boo boo bop robots for you. We're people.
Nick literally has said like during their time on Disney when they would get asked questions that they like couldn't really answer directly. He said it was like a game for him to
those PR people.
Yeah, he said it was literally like a game for him to be like a fucking politician and like spin the conversation in a different direction. He just said like they were trained to do it so much.
I would love to sit in on Disney Channel media training. Because, like, you can't
do anything.
They can't talk about anything, like...
anything.
Even if people, like, aren't even affiliated with Disney anymore, people still come for them. Like, Disney. Her name's Dove. Dove Cameron. Even
Disney
though, like,
Cameron?
I guess she did that, like, Descendants animated special that no one watched. But, like, other than that, like, people come for her, like, showing, like, skin and, like, pictures or, like, cursing in Instagram photos, like, captions and stuff. And she'll be like, I'm not, like, with Disney anymore. Like, I'm 20 whatever years old. Like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm my own person. I don't need to be, like, there's a robot anymore, so stop coming for me.
Dude, Sabrina's the same way. Sabrina will literally refer to it as the D word. Like, she's like, I'm not affiliated with them in any way anymore. Like, don't.
Like, yeah. Is this industry people, or are these, like, are these industry people, or are they, like, just, like, randos that be, like, you
random
are on Disney,
people.
Why are you being,
random
like
people will, like, comment that, yeah.
That's so
a lot
stupid.
Of, like, adult men or, like, adults would be, like, my kid, blah, blah. It's, like, okay, why does your kid have Instagram?
Your kid but shouldn't also, have Instagram. You're supposed to be 13.
And, like, let Dove, like, be whoever the fuck she wants. Let
she
Sabrina
wants
do her
show.
Thing.
Wants to show side boob. She can show side
yeah,
boob.
I was gonna say,
I was gonna say
side coochie, but side boob is better.
Wow.
Side coochie?
Yeah. And, like, you know, like, how does that even work?
Just a little...
Remember, you're, like, convex, we're, like, concave. There's no, like, you guys got side peen. Like, there's no side. That's our leg. Like, I don't
there
know what
no
you're talking
side.
About. But, yeah, like, and I know Ellie and AJ have talked about that, too. Like, we're grateful for, like, what Hollywood Records and, like, Disney did for us. But also, it, like, there was dark times of, like, just not being able to do things. And, like, the type of music they had to make for Hollywood Records.
Sarah, did you ever read the, like, really long, I don't know if it was, like, a blog post.
From Joe?
From Joe?
Yes. That was when I was, like, still, I didn't really, like, jump back into their music and become, like, a Joe Bros fan, but I had, like, gained a lot of respect for Joe. I think it was for Variety or Vulture. Yeah, he wrote, like, a long thing talking about, like, mentioned, like, when he lost his virginity, like, all of this Disney stuff, the purity rings. Great article. We'll link it in the episode.
Was the purity ring his dad or Disney?
Well, it was probably their dad.
Well, it was just like a casual thing, right? And then the media was like,
Yeah, they just had him because like everybody in church did. And then, yeah, the media and like paparazzi and people started to point it out. And then that was when it became a big deal.
And then the South Park episode, which I thought was funny at the time when I was a kid who enjoyed South Park, and I didn't like the Jonas Brothers at the time. But, like, they kind of, isn't it even in the documentary, they were like, we didn't even really know what they meant. Yeah, like, everyone just had them. We didn't think it was, like, a big deal. And then it became the big thing.
In the documentary they mentioned, like, when they would go to sporting events and stuff as fans and people would, like, boo them and shit on them for no fucking reason, and Nick is like, I'm a sports fan just like you are, and you guys hate me for like no reason.
He said, I'm a cishet man just like the rest of you here. Stop throwing popcorn at me.
Oh my god, my life is so hard.
But yeah, so it's like, it is pretty ballsy to make this song about the industry.
About the industry that they just labeled onto.
Yeah. Well, I think, let me go back here. By the way, this one was written by The Boys and John Fields, who we've talked about before, wrote Seven Things, worked with La La Land, Demi Lovato. John Fields is all about fucking up the industry.
John Fields really said fuck the industry.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, I swear on Genius earlier, let me reload it. It had said, like, that this was written, like, right after switching from Columbia to Hollywood and then being like, this is our statement of, like, y'all aren't gonna fuck around with us.
To Hollywood?
What do you mean? Hollywood Records.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the issue, gal?
I'm just like, why even sign on then? Like, you should have done someone else.
I mean, I get, like, what else can they do? Like, this was what gave them the chance. Like, they weren't going to be taken seriously, probably, as, like, a regular, like, pop punk band or, like, scene band at the time. Like, they knew their audience. So they said, we'll take your money. We're going to sell out stadiums. We're going to be on Hannah Montana, do all this stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, know that we also know that we could do better and we deserve better.
Yeah, I was going to say, they just really needed some money. They were poor at the time.
Why does anyone still sign to Hollywood Records? Like,
yeah, that I don't understand.
Want to be on Hollywood Records? She knows that, like, because of her work with the Disney Channel, that gives her an in at Hollywood Records. And so she needs to put some stuff out before she can transfer over to, like, an actual nice record label. I'm sure they're not nice. I'm sure every record label is terrible in their own way. But anyways, hashtag save Sophia Carson. Anyways, I guess we can move on to the last track on the album, which is Take a Breath.
Okay.
As someone with asthma, it's a good reminder that I just need to be breathing and make sure I'm monitoring my breathing.
Oh my god.
This is another
I'm
one.
Glad
you mentioned
that for you.
You mentioned Hold On earlier, but this one feels like another one that people would get tattoos of.
It's really funny that you say that because actually one of my friends I met because she has this tattooed on her.
Oh, is it just take a breath? Is it another lyric?
Yeah, it just says take a breath. It was her first tattoo. We were volunteering, both of us were volunteering for the company that we volunteer for the One Tree Hill conventions. And she had worked all the other ones except the first one I volunteered. So everybody else knew her and I didn't. And everybody knew we were both big Jonas Brothers fans. And I was over talking with Lauren, my podcast host that you all met, and I was talking with her and Callie was there. I kind of like went to put my hair behind my ear and she like grabbed my arm and she was like, what does your tattoo say? And I was like, turn right. And she goes, why does it say that? And I was like, it said Jonas Brothers song. And she goes, oh my god, I have Take a Breath tattooed on my ribs. We're gonna be good friends. And she like hugged me.
Cute.
She grabbed your arm and went, what the fuck does this mean? Why does it say that?
What's that one? Powder, oh, okay. Yeah, I have seen that one. I just didn't recall. Wow. Yeah, it just seemed like one of those ones where it's like a positive song. Again, not about romance or anything, just a positive message, which is
they
nice.
They said, you're not depressed, just go out in nature, take a breath.
They said, self-care Saturday, air isn't overrated. No, but for real, it is a nice message. Also, what's nice is if you're a Jonas Brothers fan and an all-time low fan, if you get Take a Breath, and then for some reason you hate the Jonas Brothers later on in life, God forbid they get canceled. And let the rest come easy, and then it becomes an all-time low lyric. Great.
Oh my god.
How great.
Just say you were just waiting to get the other half of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Iconic. I think it's just a good way to end the album. That's all I gotta say. It's all right. It's a good way to end the album.
I do like that this one fades out. Get a fade out here. I do think it would have been kind of cool, but maybe I would be the only person that would have liked it if it ended with Hollywood, which just ends abruptly. But maybe that would have only been me that liked it. Most people like a nice like closure, like fade out in an album.
I like high energy.
Mm-hmm.
I like it to be high energy, and then I really don't care how it actually ends, like what the last note is, unless it's, you know, shit. But I just like that. I like an album to either start slow and build up, and end slow again, or end high, or start high and end high.
So you didn't want this to end with "Hello, beautiful."
I would have literally tossed my phone out the window.
Interesting. Ivy, thoughts on this one?
I really like this song. I think it's a good song. Like you said, it's a good message. I really like the bridge of life isn't suffocating, air isn't overrated. I think, like, I don't know, like me, eight-year-old me at the time, I was like, wow, that's deep.
Yeah, same. Like, I feel like every band has that song. Like, Pierce the Veil had, like, Hold On Till May. All Time Low had, like, well, I guess they had Therapy and Missing You. But those ones where it's like, okay, the lyrics might be, like, kind of cheesy, but, like, it is a good message.
But it's also, and, like, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone out there is going to listen to it and be like, this is actually, like, this helped me through something.
This song saved my life.
Yes.
With the sign, the meme.
Your music saved me.
And with that, unless Juan has to do some more math and switching around, we are ready to make the album. Okay.
I'm ready.
And, so I took notes for the other three songs that,
oh,
that
yeah,
were on the
bonus. Why don't you tell us about those bonus tracks?
So Year 3000, I just wrote "See Last Episode, I'm Tired."
Yes, exactly.
Kids of the Future, this is when I wrote "Low-Key Thought Joe Was Wilbur Robinson." This song is longer than needed, but I thought it was a good mix of their sound for this album and the, like, techno of Meet the Robinsons. I thought it was a good blend of that. Also have a very poorly constructed music video of that my sister and I made in the basement.
Oh yeah,
so that was a fun time.
Love.
And then for "We Got the Party," all I wrote was the Niley love origin.
I love "We Got the Party."
We got the party. Rock the party.
I do love this song.
Skateboard, here's our ride. Like, their ride is gonna be a skateboard for the whole evening. That's
so
not very
wild.
Reliable transportation. Anyways, I guess we can start ranking. This album has 13 tracks other than those bonus Jonas tracks that Ivy mentioned. So everyone say their number 13 track. Let's go. We'll go Ivy, Juan, then me, because that's the order that you're on my screen. So okay. Ivy, what is your number 13 pick? Not necessarily a terrible song, but your least favorite on this album.
Yeah, I do just want to start off by saying that this ranking is probably the hardest that I will have to do, because it is my favorite album and I have loved these songs for so long, but it is "Hello, Beautiful" for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yes, mine is also "Hello, Beautiful."
I mean, I think we're all gonna end and at least start the same. In the middle, who knows, but at least we're all gonna start
that,
off and
that
end
was,
on the right foot.
That's how I am ranking anything. I'm like, I know what I want at the very bottom. I usually know what I want at the top and then the middle. I'm just like, well, what do I do here?
The meat and cheese of the sandwich between the bread.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well then let's move on to number 10. Or 12, sorry.
12?
I don't know how to count.
What?
I was
number
like,
12.
Sarah's going to murder me. I had "Australia."
My Cate Blanchett anthem.
All right.
Wow.
Ivy, you're going to murder
it,
me.
I get it.
Mine is "Just Friends."
Oh, no.
She doesn't remember. She said she's not crazy. She heard it. Nick Jonas played it so many times on tour. Everyone's sick of it.
Okay, good.
My number 12, Ivy will not like this. It's "Games."
Okay.
Okay, oh. You just really went off about "Sorry" and "Trouble" in the board games.
No, I think the lyrics are amazing, but, like, the song itself, like I said, the chorus I love, but the verses I'm not so excited
You're
about.
Not living for.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about number 11?
That's just the way we roll.
Understandable.
Same. Absolutely the same. That's just the way we roll. Trash.
Okay. Well, I do think "That's Just the Way We Roll" isn't a great song. It is too catchy for me to put it this low, so it is a bit higher. Mm-hmm. My number 11, even though I do think it's a positive message and everything, is "Take a Breath."
Okay.
Sorry to the friend that had that tattooed on them. Number 10.
10, I have games. So, like, I don't have it super high.
Okay, okay.
So, my number 10 and my number 9 are very much just interchangeable. Like, it doesn't matter. So, they're pretty much the same. But it's going to be games as well.
Okay, so we're all around the same area for games. My number 10, and so all the girls I went to middle school with, I'm so sorry. Not really. My number 10 is When You Look Me in the Eyes.
No!
It's just the trauma for me. I just can't. Like, I acknowledge it's a good song, but I just had to put it lower. You know me. I'm more of the pop punk fast songs, you know.
On their last tour, they have a song called Comeback on their new album, and it was like largely about the fans. It's like, come back to me and I'll come back to you.
Please, Lord, come back. We need to sell out these.
But my favorite song that they wrote about the fans on the new album is called Strangers. But Comeback is a really good song, and it's a slower song. And there was a fan project that these people orchestrated in Nashville, and it was some company, and they had an app, and they paid for like the entire arena to have signs that said "Thank you for coming back to us." And when they did come back, we all held up those signs, and like literally Nick and Joe were crying, and they went immediately from that song to When You Look Me in the Eyes. And like the transition between everybody fucking crying during Comeback to When You Look Me in the Eyes, I was like, damn.
The arena everybody was relaxed. Flooded with tears. I do like when either fans orchestrate that, or yeah, like something bigger orchestrates that, like, we're all gonna bring this color glow stick, we're all gonna bring signs that say this, we're all gonna do this at this point. I do like that. Will I ever orchestrate that? No, too much work, but I like when other people do that. Anyways, what is our number 9 pick?
I am still in love with you. This is when it got to the point of this that I was like, I didn't know where to put anything.
This is when it got tough.
Sarah, Cate Blanchett, and Can Step on Me Later. Australia is my number 9.
Okay, I get it, because it is such a silly, goofy song, so I get it. My number 9, Small Talk on I Am. It's Just Friends.
Okay, okay.
All right.
My number 8, so I get it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, so my number 8 is Still in Love with You.
Oh, okay. A lot lower than me, but all right. My number 8 is everyone's favorite kooky song about their quirky, goofy family with whales in the pool. That's just the way we roll.
This is sick. How high you have this up?
It's just too catchy for me. Like, I know it's so dumb, but like every time it's on, I just go, we get a little crazy.
Oh my god.
It's fun. It's really fun when they do it live.
Every time this song comes on, you take a little hit of that blunt you have stashed away somewhere. You just really let it roll.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyways, number 7.
This is where I am gutted at how low gutted. I'm gutted at how low I put this song, but I just like the other ones more, and I hate to say that this is middle of the road, because it's not, but it's Good Night and Goodbye. And I hate having it there.
No, 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 no.
You could have saved it from elimination, but you did not.
Oh my god. One.
My number 7 is Take a Breath.
Okay. Now, don't be too mad at me, because I do think this is a good song. It's a little weird. Like, it was very... It's weird to hear them do this style of, like, you know, Paramore music. So I put Inseparable at number 7. The silence.
For once, it wasn't me, Ivy. For once, it was not me.
I'm so sorry. Like, everything from 8 up, like, are my, like, great to me.
I'm sorry, but Sarah, let's just rewind it back to 30 seconds ago when you said, I would just rather the pop punk kind of stuff.
I would just rather, when it's like this, this sound, this guitar sound, is so signature Paramore, specifically from the Riot era. Like, not other pop punk. It's so Paramore to me that I'm like, I would just rather Hayley Williams be singing it. I'm so sorry.
Okay, okay.
I'm sorry, okay. Nick Jonas.
Mad respects to Hayley Williams. Better than you. Bye. She left.
She turned the camera off. Well, with that, we're on to number six.
When you look me in the eyes.
Okay.
And tell me that you put Inseparable at seven. My number six is Hold On. I put the good feeling ones like dab in the middle, like straight in the middle of the road.
Okay. My number six is Hollyweed.
Okay.
Remember this?
Okay.
Hollyweed?
I have Hold On at five, so I guess you won.
All right. Well, because my number five is Good Night and Goodbye.
Okay.
Okay. A little,
we're like in the same ballpark.
Truly, from like seven up, it's pretty much like fair game to anybody except for like top two, top three.
Yeah.
We're on number five. My number five is Australia. Crikey, or Norm.
You're so insane. You're literally delusional.
Like, I just like that the chorus, it's like a different verse chorus structure where it's like, okay, we're going to do a relaxing chorus.
You know what, Sarah? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that song has that effect on you. Just simply do not agree.
This is the moment where friends can disagree and still be friends.
Number four.
SOS.
Oh.
Okay. Mine is The Holy Queers. Hollywood.
Okay. Oh. How are we supposed to get that?
At least mine
had the same letters.
No.
Holy Queers. I was literally like, hold on? What are you talking about? Okay, so your number four is Hollywood. Okay, my number four is Still in Love with You.
Where are we? Where are you? What's happening here?
Did you even rank Still in Love with You on?
I did. That's my eight.
Oh, okay.
I had trouble figuring out where I wanted to do with my two and three. My three is Hollywood.
Okay. My three is When I Look You in the Eyes.
Not how it goes, but okay.
Oh, when you look at me in the eyes.
When you look at my eyeballs. Number three for me is Hold On. It's just too nostalgic for me with that music video and the Johnny Capahala montage.
Okay.
Indeed.
Work.
Snake T. Austin is a Jonah fan.
Mm-hmm. Sounded like you said Snake T. Austin. I was like, what a cool wrestler name.
Yeah, oh, you did. Okay, great. 100%. I heard it too.
Okay, great.
Two, I have Take a Breath.
Wow, hi for you. Which makes sense with you and your tattoo friend.
But I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think she would probably kill me if I didn't put it up anyhow.
That's a good friend.
Ivy found it.
What's your number two?
Ooh, it's SOS.
Mm-hmm. Juan, my number two is also SOS. This means you guys have the same number one. And I have
See, the thing about SOS, I know when we did the last episode and y'all had your 3000 really high, I was like super bitter because I get so tired of hearing your 3000.
Yeah, they play it every time.
Yeah, I'm like, I can accept the fact that your 3000 is a good song, but I just get so tired. But SOS, I like, it is a single, but I love the song.
And it's actually their song. As opposed to your 3000, which they didn't write. They just changed the boob line to something else.
No,
triple-breasted women.
And Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead and say your number ones, because they're the same.
Inseparable. 100%.
My number one, like I said, it was a spoiler earlier, other than Mandy, my favorite Joe Bro song is Good Night and Goodbye. Just those guitars are so cool to me. Can I play it? No one ever tried, but it just sounds so cool. Love it.
When I meet y'all, I want to watch the 3D concert experience with y'all.
I know we haven't done it yet, or the Hannah Montana one. I think it'll just be interesting. Well, okay. I did ask people for some thoughts on this album in general. People, for the most part, very positive. No one said a bad thing. Our friend Lisa said masterpiece. Whitney, everyone knows Whitney, said the beginning of an era. True.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Nathan said year 3000, which, you know, was re-released on this one. A banger, scene hair without making scene music, not a banger. Okay. Kate from the Start of Something New podcast said iconic. Natalie, our Disneyland friend, said Still in Love with You is underrated. And I had that at number 4 and they had it lower, so you tell me.
Oh.
And then Ashley 880 said one of their favorites. So
okay, work.
Thank you to those people. Hey, everyone just has positive nostalgia with this album.
Yeah. See, the thing about ranking this album is there are songs that I had low, but aside from Hello Beautiful, if I did like a definitive ranking of like all Jonas Brothers songs, the majority of these would be higher than stuff on like, say, Lines Binds.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Poison Ivy. That's a song on that album. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've never done that? You've never done like a tear maker?
I haven't. I haven't, but I should.
I think that would take you at least a week.
I was going to say, it would take me so long. Just doing this last night took me a hot minute.
So this album is at the top for you. What are the other below them? What's the other ones below it? Go self-titled, then what?
Self-titled, and then self-titled, and then probably Happiness Begins. I just think that was a really good album for them to come back with. And then a little bit longer than Lines Binds. Then It's About Time. Then The
unreleased V.
But I will say V has probably one of my top three all-time favorite Jonas Brothers songs. I can't say it's my number one, but Neon is one of my favorite songs by them ever.
Okay, interesting. Neon. Okay, well, Ivy, thank you for returning to claim your Joe Bros crown and give us your expertise in this episode. Why don't you let the people know where they can follow you if they aren't already?
My Insta, Twitter, TikTok, whatever you may look up is all, they call me Ivy with two Y's at the end.
We love Universal branding. Okay, well, yeah, whenever we do a little bit longer.
The Miley Cyrus album.
Yeah, we'll give Juan some time in between Jonas Brothers albums. But yes, whenever we do that, we'll have you back on. We'll talk about Love Bug, Burning Up, Tonight, all the hits. Yeah,
the one.
Well, thanks for joining us. And everyone, remember this. We love you. Take a breath.
Oh my God, and hold on.
And hold on. So true. And, after learning it's not about a breakup.
Go take a trip to Australia because it is a very nice country to
Once they're not on lockdown, then yes.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, once you know, but let's give it up for Australia for being a responsible country.
Yeah.
Them who said we at what case we're shutting it down.
Yep. Exactly.
Me, when I go to Australia, once I step off the plane, you know what I'm going to say?
Crikey.
I'm going to say, Hello, Beautiful. And we're ending the episode like that. Goodbye, everyone.